I mean, that's one of the things again that I just find totally fascinating is like the magic of modernity.
You mean what a strange, strange thing this is?
Yeah, and just the relationship of modernity to esoteric religious undercurrents and things which are not accounted for in Enlightenment discourse.
Yeah, what if it just gets more and more like this? In other words, I think that's what's actually happening. Is we're really headed for our own private Idaho. More faster, deeper, and with more panache than anybody ever dared suppose.
You mean in terms of building our own sort of constructed world perspectives and communicating them to some degree, but not in a way that dominates ideologically or...
Well, and we have no idea how strange the worlds we can create in the near term will be, and yet they will be. It's coming at you.
Right. But just how far back to go on, like, what's witnessing this bizarre moment in history? You know, what point is the perspective kind of sitting in? That's the part I find really hard to figure out. Does that make sense?
Well, that's the question. I mean, because what that boils down to is, how real is it? How real is it? Yeah, it's complicated. Every age seems to design its own image of its own dissolution. And they happen over and over again. I mean, when I think about the 20th century, you know, I mean, Europe, which is the source of world civilization, stomped flat twice. Millions of refugees, Auschwitz, the whole thing. Meanwhile, you know, what went on in the Far East of Asia and the Asian prosperity wars and all this. It's over and over again, these cultures create their Ragnarok and act it out way over the top. I mean, Germany, for crying out loud.
Yeah, how would you describe that character? What's the character of our dissolution?
I don't know. I guess it was Nietzsche who pushed the myth of the eternal return, right? So it's some kind of... it's like a closed cycle of Hegelian dynamic, where it just works itself out. Then the thesis, the antithesis, the synthesis, and the darkness. And then it starts over again.
That Nichols book that I told you about, Living Time, what was most impressive about that book was he lays out this idea of, like, time. And he basically kind of presents a way of thinking about eternal return, which is that we're locked into these repetitive cycles that are eternally reiterating themselves. The only way of changing their quality is to increase consciousness in the midst of them. And so you affirm this life, this world, not some transcendent world, and just the...
And then try to solve it.
Like, under the sign of this is always this way. Mm-hmm. And how does that mean to relate to the real as it presents itself, as if there's no other thing that can be than that? And that, but as you do this process, you change your relationship to this stream, and then all this other heady stuff happens. But it was very interesting. It was like, because up to that point, I'd always thought of the eternal return on a kind of philosophical level. And I never thought, what does it mean to actually live in the world of the eternal return? Now that's pretty heavy.
That's interesting. Yeah, well, I've always felt like that reality was a kind of thing, that the way you made progress was you grasped it, in the sense that you grasp a mathematical or geometric proposition or something like that. That it's something which, once understood on some level, clears the way to advance a very short distance. So that's what you're always trying to do, is create this lexical space of presumed understanding and live inside that.